Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about the program at wethepeopleradio.us. The archives are free of charge. Each show has its own page with all the information about our guests and the things we talked about and links and good stuff like that. And you are just absolutely encouraged and free to send those to friends, family, whoever might be interested in these topics. We try to do things that typically wind up covered in, well, they're probably not covered at all, or they're covered in like 2 minutes. You know, the old news shows where they have the panel of guests and they're all a bunch of experts and they're all on for 14 seconds each and no one learns anything. So our goal is to bring you the rest of the story, sort of where Paul Harvey left off, I guess, without the snazzy endings. But today we're talking about China. We started with this actually, I think in November was our first show about China. And so it's sort of leading from one thing to the next. And it's something that's very much in the news. But the parts that are not in the news are the parts we're going to cover because they are things that we should consider. Other countries, I mean, if you don't live in the United States, you ought to consider it too. China is becoming a world power and you should know what you're looking at and how they're affecting perhaps coming for your country, your business, your citizens. And if you're someone who travels to China or works with China, these are things that if you haven't considered them before, you really ought to. So our guest today is Dr. Chen. And Dr. Chen, I've got to scroll up, darn it. I was at a spot in the article on our page that I wanted to ask him about. But he's been working on projects concerning China for over 30 years and became an activist in 1989 when he helped organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre and founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He has served on the board of Press Freedom Guardian and was elected the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. So along with being a PhD in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego, and owning his own molecular biology startup in San Diego, he works on a lot of activism regarding China, and we really appreciate him spending his Sunday afternoon with us to kind of smarten us up. We've been referring to the Chinese Communist Party, which is the CCP, and you'll hear the show say that a lot. I'm always worried when we do acronyms that will have people tune out mentally because they have no idea what we're talking about. So anytime you hear CCP, that's the Chinese Communist Party, and then the United Front Work. Dr. Chen, maybe you could give people sort of a definition when they hear United Front Work. What does that really mean?
It really means that CCP unite all possible forces into one front to fight its main enemy. So United Front. Right? It's an alliance. But it is an alliance based on interest rather than any principle. It's all about deception. It's all about backstabbing. It's all about once you're used, then you'll be tossed. Unfortunately, Americans do not know enough about the CCP's history. The CCP's history is filled by this kind of backstabbing all these years. And so we have little idea about United Front. And we're only seeing in the past 30 years, generous barbarism is part of the United Front strategy. It will give you some, it'll show you some good things. So you'll be united with me. And then over time, it was like, the proverbial frog. Once you realize it's going to kill you, it's probably too late. And America, we are at this point that fortunately, with the election of President Trump, we're temporarily out of that danger. But we're far from being really out of it. because if we don't, we don't know how we got into it. We will not be able to get out of it. And certainly, United States now, you know, like mentioned, like it is mentioned in Nikki Haley's article, that stand up to China in the economic front is the first step. Well, this article calls into, you know, stand up in other areas, military, intellectual property, all that. But there's one thing that this article did not talk about, did not realize, is to stand up to CP in the ideological front. And that is the key. That is all this is about. And I mentioned that as bad it is, if it's not because of Falun Gong, the situation would be much worse, because China spent large amounts of its resources in persecuting Falun Gong. Let me give you a statistics. I mean, this is only a part of the statistics, not even all. So China has a defense department like the U.S., right? But China, the U.S. Defense spending is the largest among all expense. In China, there's one department has larger budget than its military. This is its so-called maintaining status commission. Its budget is larger than the military. And this particular maintaining stability commission is only meant to target its own citizens. In other words, the CCP treat its own citizen worse than foreign invaders. I mean, the military would be, you know, supposedly would be towards the outside to defend the country, right? And yet CCP has a particular commission or department to defend its own people. And the budget is even larger. So China is really treat its own people as war. And most of the money for the past 20 years is spent on the persecuting Falun Gong.
And why is the, I mean, for people who don't know anything about Falun Gong, the three principles, I was just sort of looking for something that I could post that would be kind of bite-sized for people, but it who would think you'd persecute people who are seeking truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance?
Right.
I mean, which one of those is the, I guess truthfulness actually is probably the problem right there. Compassion's probably also an issue, but it's a physical practice as well as a mental practice. And is this the type of thing we would see people doing like in a park? You know, where it looked like, I know Tai Chi they do sort of outside. Is Falun Gong something they do outside?
Yes. What people see outside doing exercise in a park is the physical aspect of it.
Okay.
There are much more to it than just that, because at home they study books, teaching of Falun Gong or Falun Dafa, what we call.
Right.
And the teachers write about, you know, how you you know, cultivate yourself to be more truthful, to be kinder people, to be more tolerant, and that's basically its teaching.
And the Chinese government's like, hey, you know what? Can't have a whole lot of this. This is a problem. Which should tell us something.
This has to go back to the nature of the CCP's ruling. I mentioned about crime against conscience. Or the concept of conscience, and the CCP's crime against conscience. Well, that crime the persecution or the crime against conscience is the very nature of CCP. Let me just give you an overall picture that throughout CCP's history, it has killed more people than any regime we can think of. It has killed more people than the two world wars combined.
Hang on for just 1 second. I don't want to break up your statistics. When we come back, I want you to reiterate those and throw some numbers on it for us. Because the threat of the Chinese Communist Party, I think we have a tendency to think of as just an idea, but actually it comes with a physical cost as well. You're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Yes, Dr. Chen. Okay, so talk to us about the Chinese Communist Party. What does that toll look like besides the intellectual and emotional toll?
Right. So there are multiple studies and publications that have put together indicated that at least 80 million lives have perished under its despotic rule. That's an astounding number that people have a hard time probably grasping.
And that's over what time frame?
Past 60 years.
60 years.
Okay. So, on average, 1.5 million were killed. Think about that. So let me give you some simple examples. In the very first year of communist rule, a movement of quote-unquote persecution of counter-revolutionaries killed 10 million people. And the slogan at that time is, every village should hear gunshots. So 10 million people were shot to death.
Every village should hear gunshots?
Should fear.
Yeah. Oh, that should fear gunshots.
Yeah, should hear gunshots. Should hear the execution gunshot.
Ah, that's a cheerful plan.
Yeah. And the movement of suppressing counter-revolution superstition, SAC, and secret society then followed. 2 million people were killed. Right. And the land reform followed. Several million killed. And then the industrial reform came, followed. And in Shanghai, the largest city in China, the communist mayor, Chen Yi, even mocked those business owners who would jump off the building as paratroopers. And every night he would say, How many paratroopers have landed today? I mean, talking about,
the people who committed suicide.
Right. How cruel that is. And so many know about Stalin's man-made famine in Ukraine, right? But the greatest man-made famine happened in China between 1959 and 1961. I personally know a senior government official who was in charge of China's agriculture reform in the 1980s. He told this direct to me. He said his staff had conducted internal investigation of the famine. A conservative estimate put the number of people who would starve to death at 48 million. And a more reasonable estimate put that number at 60 million.
40 to then, 60 million people starved to death.
Yeah. And then in the Cultural Revolution, from 1966 to 1976, That thrilled the whole nation into hell. And so far, no official statistics of death row toll are available. It's just one. In late 1978, CCP Vice Chairman General Ye said the Cultural Revolution killed 29 people. Mm-hmm. In Guangxi province alone, one province, China, in the summer of 1968, more than 100,000 quote-unquote counter-revolutionaries were cut open alive and their internal organs eaten as delicacies. So talking about brutality, talking about barbarism, and the CCP is worse than anyone. So as shocking as this number are, it's far from enough to show the monstrosity of the CCP's rule. The CCP doesn't just kill people to take their lives. It has a purpose. Many people ask me, why such brutality? Well, political movement is even as today, is a matter of fact. I mean, it's just a way of life. The CCP can draw up any plan of, political movement, and they openly claim, that this movement target a small percent of people. I mean, it says the majority of the people are good. We're only targeting a small percentage of people, 5% of people. And I actually coined the term of 90% psychology. I mean, think about it. All the people, in the world, think about it. Any government, you can openly say it will persecute 5% of people. What kind of government is that? How scary that is.
That's a big number.
But that brings out the worst of human nature. People, for their own safety, would look away from what happened to the 5%. In fact, for their own safety, they push others into that 5%. So to show the government that, he's with the government, not with that 5%. That itself is a crime against conscience. Actually, gold people act against their conscience. And that is the nature of the CCP's rule. The worst part of this crime is that the more people are persecuted this way, the easier they'll commit crime against conscience. People don't understand how China has such, the Chinese people have such they have no qualm about lying, about, committing fraud, all kinds of terrible things. Again, this is back to our media. The Western media is far from, because, this podcast is not good for their profit, so they're not reporting this. The situation in China, if the world people know, they will really cringe. We know a little bit about China, the food safety, the mountain, contamination of milk,
dog food,
all the recycled cooking oil, all this, and the fake medicine. And people ask, don't they have any conscience? Well, that's the result of the CCP's destruction of the nation's conscience for the past 60 years. And so China's slavery is not just a slavery of body. What I call China's modern slavery is really a slavery and manipulation and possession of people's minds, the slavery of their minds. When I talk about America profiting from China's modern slavery, I'm talking about that. You know, now, it's probably, no people know about it, okay? China are talking about 996. You probably haven't heard about this term. It's called the 996.
Like the three numbers, 996?
996, yes. Okay. What it refers to is people working, the companies in China now requires employee to work from 9 to 9 and 6 days a week.
Hmm.
Talking about exploitation.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's what we're profiting from. And that's why I disagree with Mickey when he said we did not steal from other countries. Well, we unwittingly are stealing from Chinese people, stealing their health, stealing their happiness, stealing with their family life. And, of course, that is done through our complacency or our acquiescence with the CCP. Chinese inside China, Chinese own scholars talked about, openly talked about, but, of course, they're suppressed, but they at least they're talking about China's advantage of low human rights condition. But that is not talked about here. Why? Because our business, our media do not want us to know. Because once America knows about that, once America know about that, they will not like that. They will not buy China product.
Well, I don't know. I think that erosion of conscience is in full swing in this country. I mean, the stories of what happens in the Apple plant in China was pretty common news over here, and nothing was done about it. We still buy these iPhones by the millions, and it's pretty common knowledge how they're produced and where they're produced and the conditions that exist in those plants. We've got to take a quick break.
Well, as long as we talk about how China is doing so much better, everybody thinks that means everyone in China is doing better.
Yeah, everybody. They're making money. And
it's working for everyone.
It's working out well. Yeah.
We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Chen. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. That's unfortunately what it kind of comes down to. So Dr. Chen, do you have any ideas on, I mean, this is almost something that is just so big and so pervasive. That darn Sun Tzu wrote a whole book about it and gave him all the directions. How do you roll this back? I mean, is it just really you have to wake people up and I guess if people recognize it and stop supporting it? Is that
right.
possible?
It's possible, and hopefully we have covered quite a lot of material, how our government official, our business, our media, our intellectuals been manipulated into giving a rosy picture of China and then fall victim to it. And then what's rolled out, and there's one final thing I have to mention before we can suggest, or I can suggest the way out.
Sure.
And that is the, I said, as bad as it is, it could have been much worse if not for Falun Gong. And so we have to understand what Falun Gong is. what has Falun Gong done to resist that? If Falun Gong can resist that, maybe we can learn from that, right? So Falun Gong is really a cultivation practice. Last time I mentioned that from the earliest establishment of Chinese culture, Chinese people embrace the concept of oneness of man and heaven. And the way to achieve that is cultivation. And Falun Gong is just one of such schools of cultivation practice. And it really gives people moral guidance how they should live their lives. And this affront the CCP, because I just talk about the nature of the CCP's ruling. It rules by goading people acting against their conscience, gave way their conscience so it could be easily manipulated by the CCP. Falun Gong gave people conscience. In fact, not just Falun Gong. A lot of things anything that would help people to gain conscience or insist their conscience of persecuting in China. Freedom, for example. Democracy, any idea. Any religion. Anything that empowers people's mind are persecuted in China. But Falun Gong in particular, because there are large number of people, 100 million people practiced Falun Gong by 1999. That affronted the Chinese Communist Party, because after 50 years of brainwashing through crime against conscience, it cannot accept that there's such large number, 100 million people, and a third of the CCP's membership actually practice Falun Gong. That's what really threatened or what affronted the CCP. And that's why it launched this persecution of Falun Gong. So, in a sense, it's a religious persecution. Or a persecution of people's mind. Now, when we come to talk about religion or faith, we are easily, think that, the conflicts of different religion, right? And when we talk about conscience, when we talk about what's religion, we often get into the detail what we're believing, who we believe in is God or Muhammad or whoever that is. But if we take a step back, if we really look into, think, what is common, let's not look at the difference, but look what is in common. We see one thing. Faith or beliefs is really humans believe the existence of higher realm, higher way of life, and we can go there by practicing certain teaching, following certain teaching. So the belief of higher being or a higher realm and the human's ability to go there. Those are the two things that's common to all, orthodox teaching. Right? Of course, there's a higher realm, there are also lower realm, the hell. Right? This is going hand in hand. And people who do not believe higher realm, they don't believe lower realm as well. So that is what I think a common in all faith. And then another thing I want to talk about is the conflict of all human conflict. There are all kinds of human conflict, but to me, there are only two kinds of conflict. The kind that animal know how to do. Fight for food, fight for resources, fight for spouse. those what I call interest-based conflict. And then the other kind, only human knows how to do. The conflict based on right and wrong, truth and false. And the greatest, the largest, gravest conflict, or some example of what I call the second kind, what I call ideological-based conflict. Religious conflict or Cold War, those are prime examples of conflict of, you know, ideology. And the largest possible conflict of the second kind, ideological-based conflict, is the one we are experiencing now. The attack of anti-theist. CCP is not just atheist, it's anti-theist. It's against all belief. It's even even against the, you know, the belief of the existence of hell. Right? So it's anti-theist. If it happens that the CCP wins this conflict, then the whole humanity will be wiped out by our Creator, because we no longer believe in our Creator.
Right.
And that is the largest possible conflict. And unfortunately, we are in that conflict.
Well, we've done so many shows previously on communism and all of the roots there, and it doesn't matter if it's the communism that comes out of, like, you know, Russia or Venezuela or pick a place, the pivot on all of it is getting rid of belief.
Getting rid of religion.
Yep, you have to stop believing in a higher power, no creator.
That's direct conflict of the forces in power.
Sure, because you have to always fill a vacuum, right? Vacuum will fill itself. So if there is no creator and nothing to believe in, then the government fills the void, and
they'll tell you what to
believe. That's what they think, anyway. Yeah. And we see that in places. No, when you grew up, you know, when you were a kid. I know our friend June said that when she was mm-hmm. she was a kid, she was, you know, a card carrying little you know, believer.
Yeah.
She was a marcher. You know, she was the Chinese government. That's where all the good things came from. That's who was running everything, and there was no problem.
Never any reason to doubt that.
Yep, it was all good. Is that kind of how you were raised too?
Yes, very much so.
Now, were your parents, because she said her parents knew better, because her grandparents were killed by the government, but the parents didn't want her to be in danger, so they basically allowed her to be indoctrinated and didn't tell her any different. Did your folks kind of know, or?
No, my parents didn't know, but my grandparents knew better. And this is,
interesting.
I did not understand it until many years later. Before I came to the United States, both my grandparents are really well off. My mother's father was a president of a top university in China, and my father's father is the top engineering in China as well. But both of them were persecuted in China. My mother's father was persecuted in the anti-rightist movement.
The anti-what?
He was anti-rightist. It's one of the movements. I mean, no, I don't think I haven't met anybody who can count all the political movement in China.
Okay.
Yeah. So because of this movement, he was, you know, persecuted and sent to the countryside. He was a professor and president of a university, sent to the countryside.
But but the countryside isn't what we think of as the countryside. We're not talking a nice place with some sheep and
a
farm.
Yeah, rural, you're in a far out area. Basically, his exile.
You're in exile, right.
Right. And then, after the Cultural Revolution, he finally came back to the city, and that was just before I came to the United States. And then he said this to me. It's chilling. And I only feel it's chilling. I understand how chill that is much later. Right? He said, I don't know why I must have done something really good in my previous life that I was, you know, labeled as a rightist and got sent, got exiled. Otherwise, I for sure would be beaten to death during the Cultural Revolution.
Oh.
Wow. So he looked at it as a good
blessing.
Thing.
Yeah.
He looked at it, lucked out. He was persecuted, yet he felt he was lucky that he was persecuted.
That is so sad, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm sorry. Let's take another break again. What the heck? Whenever we talk to you, it seems like we have more breaks than usual, but we really don't. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it.
But I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies.
Okay, so
you have a song for every occasion, don't you?
Well, you know, that's what I told Bill when we took the break. I, because I've got this long list that I've been creating over time, and so as we're talking, I'm sort of looking at the list and I'm thinking what will fit, and I told him I kept changing when I played "Losing My Religion" right at the end of what you were talking about with your grandfather. I had changed that. That was the fourth change I made in my head. And so, like, just a few minutes before you told us that story, I had that song. I thought, yeah, we should do that. And I thought, so weird. I think they're picking themselves. I don't think I'm picking them at all. I think I don't have anything to do with it.
Very good.
You know, and it's very interesting because the topics in, excuse me, in these programs, our music from, like, especially the 60s and 70s, and all right, we'll go in a little bit into the early 80s with the big hair bands, but it's interesting that the music that I grew up with and Bill grew up with in our age group, this all had a ton of meaning that we didn't see as young people. We had no idea what was going on in the world, and you fast forward to now and you think, there was a lot happening that we had no clue. So, your family, I mean, we can't even imagine in this country, people here can't even imagine what it would be like to, people talk about being, you know, persecuted for their thoughts.
Well,
and it's like
generational oppression.
We're nowhere.
Yeah.
We're, I mean, no one here is truly being persecuted for their thoughts, not anywhere close to that. However, if we keep going down the road we're on, it's not an impossibility. It's got to be kind of creepy for you to look at the craziness that's going on in our country these days.
Yeah.
With the backdrop of China that you know so well.
Yeah. So we have just a few minutes, I see, over time. But so
I know, we're always out of time.
Yeah, yeah. Let me quickly to say, you know, how Right now, we're engaged in a trade negotiation with China.
Yes.
And so America finally stood up against China economically. That's good. But I think that's not enough. For America to recover from all the damage that's done so far, we have to realize the root cause of it. And our president has to do more. And let me just name one example. Have you heard of Shen Yun?
Yes. June spoke to us about that.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful performance that is suppressed by the CCP. Shen Yun is a U.S. business. And China is to interfere with U.S. business operation worldwide, Shen Yun. Include that in the trade negotiation. Get China off that. Because Shen Yun is what China or the CCP are afraid of. And we, America, to win against the CCP, like Nikki Haley said, for U.S. to recover from California back to California, we have to stand up not just in economic, in military, but we must stand up in our true exceptionalism. We have to recover our national idealism or a national ideal. We have to recover our value. And this cannot be done through just business negotiation. This has to be accomplished by standing up for the righteous to do the right thing. And only through then we can undo all the past 30 years of damage. And there's no other way to it. I don't see any other way.
People will have to get educated. I mean, that's education is always the trick, and it's not going to come from our traditional media and news sources. We're going to have to look a little bit outside the box, and we're going to have to get smarter about other countries. I'm going to add the Shen Yun information just so people kind of know some of the things we're referring to might be unfamiliar words and hard to look up for you just because of the spelling. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us and you click on the China tab at the top, I've actually pulled the Falun Gong information, Epoch Times, the link for that. They have great news, and the Shen Yun information on there. It's also on the pages that we've done for the shows, but it's right there on the China tab, so you don't have to go searching all over the place.
Well, I remember June said that when she saw that performance.
Yeah, she said that was the heads up.
That was when she realized what her true national culture was all about and how she had been lied to her whole life about her culture. So very powerful performance.
And I highly suggest that the Shen Yun tour, the season tour usually starts in January or so. I highly suggest you invite June back to, or myself. We can give a presentation on what Shen Yun is all about.
Oh, we should do that, and then we can promote it so people can go and see that. I missed it this last year. It was in the wrong place at the right time. I was like, oh, can't do that one. But if we plan ahead, we should definitely do that. What was the when you came here to the United States? I'm always curious here. We have a couple of minutes, but when you came here, did you also think that we were pretending to be free? Did you think it was fake here too?
No. I didn't even think of that. I came here as a diehard communist, just like Jim. It is through all the information that's available to me that I slowly opened my mind and came to realize what CCP is. And so that is why CCP is afraid of the truth. And I said, you know, there are the second kind of conflict only a human knows how to do. That is conflict of right and wrong, truth and false. And CCP promotes falsehood and evilness. And when we are not standing up to the CCP, even though CCP is only persecuting Falun Gong, we are actually, the world, including America, have been assisting the evil force of anti-theists, even though we, America, we believe in God, but we somehow unwittingly are assisting the force, the anti-theist force. And that is what is going to weaken America. And if we are going to stand up again, we have to change. We have to think what we're doing, what we have been doing, and reverse that course. And that's the only way to make America not just great again, but make America exceptional again.
Yeah, because honestly, we have all these trends in our country right now. You know, we have to take religion out of school. We can't have a cross anywhere. I mean, all this, you look at this corrosion of history. We've got to take down statues. We've got to do, and it's in the name of racism and all these things. But when you look at what it eventually accomplishes and what it's supporting, gosh, you know, it looks a whole lot like what you've been describing goes on in China.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, you know, just standing up to China in the economic front is good, but not enough. And I hope, you know, these words get to our high officials, get to President Trump to rethink what more he should included in his negotiations with China.
Yeah, he made a comment, I think it was last week, that Chinese officials had made it clear that maybe they'll just hold out until he's not in office anymore, then they can continue to deal with a more or less strict U.S. government, which is kind of scary because that is their long game again.
Well, today's been loaded with information. We really, really appreciate everything
you
brought
so
to
much.
Us. And I really hope people
thank
will
you.
Go to the page for today, July 28th, 2019, and look at all the information that's posted on there. Thank you, Dr. Chen.
Thank you.
We will be talking to you again, I'm sure of it. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.